We come to the end of 2011. This will be our final show altogether here on the Dunham and Miller Show for 2011. We are on vacation starting Monday. Gordo will be here next week for the first part of the week unless he pulls the old Gordon double switch once again. He'll be with you on Monday and Tuesday with one Mike Ducey of Fox 4. You confident about him getting here by 5:30?
Ducey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ducey's always pretty reliable.
No, he is. I was just giving you an avenue there to rag on Ducey like you normally
do. I don't ever rag on him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
gosh. Okay. So as we put the wraps on 2011, what a great sports year it was. If you go back to the fact that we had the Super Bowl here in February, the weather could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still cool to have the Super Bowl here. We had a great week outside of the extreme cold temperatures here in Dallas-Fort Worth. We had a great run for the Mavericks that no one really saw coming in April, May, and June. What a great run all the way to Game 6 in Miami. The place where it didn't work out well for them in 06, they win the title. That was huge. I would put that in my top five moments here on the ticket covering a Maverick championship.
Mm-hmm.
We wondered if we would ever get there with Dirk and the gang, and they did. The Maverick Parade, too, was also a blast. That was a good time that we brought you here on the ticket. The Rangers run. Never forget that. And the run all the way to St. Louis. And never forget the Game 6 and how that was captured with Gordo's twit pic of the small person behind me madly celebrating.
Such a funny picture.
I'm going to cheat a little bit, but going back to October, and even if we wanted to just take it back to January 1 of 2011, I don't think there's any question this is the greatest sports year in Metroplex history. No, I don't think anything comes close.
No.
I mean, to have the Super Bowl here for the first and only time so far,
mm-hmm.
to have the NBA championship here and to win it, and then to have the World Series here for the second straight year, no year comes close.
And before it ended, just think of all those magical moments in September and October for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
All the good stuff we had to talk about.
Throw in a fairly local guy winning a Heisman Trophy,
yeah.
you know, just 90 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And this was a marvelous year. FC Dallas, right, making it to the championship.
Yeah. Don't forget them. Yeah, great 12 months. And we had some great moments here on the show. You remember Gordo's interview with legendary comedian Dick Van Dyke. You know, it just seems like it was yesterday that we found that Dick Van Dyke thought that his appeal was timeless.
And speaking of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which I loved as a kid and dangerously close to an adult title now, but
whoa.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, do most people come up and say that that was their fondest movie of childhood, or is it always Mary Poppins?
It's usually Mary Poppins. Sometimes it is Chitty, though.
And what about a new crop of kids with the Curious George voiceover in the Night of the Smithsonian?
Well, it's amazing that they still remember me from Mary Poppins and Chitty. Those movies are on their third or fourth generation now. It's really wonderful to get that kind of reaction out of little kids.
Yeah, I do remember it.
Yeah, I know I remember all that. I think you may overrate Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Why do you say that?
You're kind of girly by liking those movies. You're kind of SG.
They were movies that were around when I was a kid. They were made before I was born, I think. But
yeah, me too, and they whipped me when I was a kid, too.
Really?
Yeah. Did you like those movies?
No. Never.
Yeah, the musicals. All right, and
I did like Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Wasn't he in that?
No, he wasn't in that, but that's that same kind
of... Yeah, it was the same kind of movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go back and rewatch that and see if you think the effects are
good. I bet it's awful.
We had some tense moments in the studio with national talk show host Glenn Beck, who was really stripped down, pretty straightforward, funny guy. I think he was nervous about being in with us because he'd heard about Gordo. We had some pretty interesting moments with him, too. It seems like we were talking about Obama or something. Do you give Obama any sort of benefit of the doubt, or you think he's taking us to hell in a handbasket?
No, that's two separate questions. Do I give him the benefit of the doubt?
One. Yeah.
I think he's a brilliant guy. He's not a bumbling idiot. I think he's the best speech giver we've ever had. He's inspirational to a lot of people.
He's Kenyan. Come on, say it.
Yeah, so I can have you play that over and over again. On the other hand, he's taking us to hell. He's taking us to hell. I don't think the country will last another 4 years with him.
Is he a one-termer?
Strangely, I don't think so.
Gosh.
So how can he be all the things that he talked about in the first 30 seconds, but the country won't even last?
If the country won't last another 4 years, but he'll be reelected. So what?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Any other guests stand out to you dudes from the last 12 months? I thought Sonny last week.
Sonny?
Elvis's bodyguard was
fascinating. That was
great. We got to get him back on.
I know. See, I thought so too. And then several people had tweeted, meh, and that, hey, this guy's a huge emergency break. But I was like, these are Elvis stories by a guy who was there for all of it. How could you think that that's not interesting?
Yeah, I'm not even a huge Elvis guy, but I thought it was fascinating, especially the fact that the history that he witnessed, the fact that he's in that meeting with Elvis and the Beatles. I mean,
yeah, just attending that one event alone makes you worthwhile to talk to.
Absolutely. I thought that was awesome. We could have had him on for 8 hours and not even scratch the surface. For me, the highlight interview was getting to talk to Phil Liggett, one of my all-time heroes. I was so nervous before this interview, and we did this during the Tour de France. He's the longtime legendary cycling announcer. His job is the one job that I would leave this job for if it ever came open, but I could not do it anywhere near as well as he does it with that great British accent. And just to talk to him, just to have him on the other end of the phone was one of the highlights of my life. You're famous for your Phil Liggettisms, dancing on the pedals, showing a clean pair of wheels, turning a pedal in anger. Do those just come naturally to you, or do you have to think about them ahead of time?
Oh, no, I never think about them. They're absolutely spontaneous. It's, I look at the pictures and see something. The other day, for example, I saw my Twitter page was full of comments, and I said something like, a red light to a bully is the same as a yellow one. To a French cyclist, and it just came out. They seem to like it, and as long as they like it, I'm very happy.
So what's the best thing about traveling around France and covering the tour for 3 weeks?
Well, it's tough, but, you know, because you're the same as a cyclist, your adrenaline is pumping all the time, especially when you're calling it live as it happens on television, rather than voicing it over later when you know the result, and I don't like that. Now we do it live every day. Our days are long, but when the race finishes, so do we. We just have to drive to the next finish in the dark, like right now, where I can tell you our visibility is about 100 feet because of the heavy rain wind.
I hope someone else is driving and keeping their eyes on the road while you're talking to us.
Oh, it's my chauffeur, Paul Sherwin, who works for me. He's the driver, and I'm the troublemaker.
The best moment of that interview is they were driving through a rainstorm in the Alps. That's why the connection was a little sketchy, was when he said, the riders are tested after every stage, including their urine.
Yeah.
All right, awesome stuff from the year 2011.
Do we have one more on the list?
Yeah, you want to hear some from Crazy Mike Leach?
Yeah, he's always really entertaining, and I don't know what the lead-in to this is, but I'm always entertained when I hear Mike Leach because he could be Bob Knight, and it's funny to me that they both coached at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Because they both have the same cadence. They both can veer off into certain areas just at a moment's notice. They're both insane.
Yeah, he takes some shots at people while talking about the time at Tech being great. He also takes the shots at the people that he's still ticked at.
Because the thing at Tech, there was nothing negative. I mean, there's three bad guys at the top. I mean, in town, there's not much more than a handful of people that are in favor of any of this crazy stuff the Chancellor and two regents did, along with Craig James, as far as smearing my name nationally. So all the memories with Tech are real positive. I mean, the negative stuff would just be the perpetrators, really.
Yeah, he joined us the day that he released his book, and now at Washington State, which has got to make Texas Tech fans absolutely crazy.
I think my favorite funny in-studio guest that we had was just recently was Jay Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was hilarious.
I did too.
Funny. He was the best.
Homo.
And by the way, one other item that we forgot to put on the list of why this was by 1 million miles the greatest sports year in the history of the Metroplex. World Series, NBA Championship, Super Bowl, FC Dallas goes to their championship, Robert Griffin wins the Heisman, and don't forget, TCU wins the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that was great.
What an incredible year.
Yeah. And I can't believe we forgot about this. We beat the girls in softball.
Yes.
Oh, you're on the home of the ticket charity softball game.
The station that never wins an athletic event against anybody.
Right.
I had a triple.
We finally won. Yes, Ty had a triple.
A legitimate sports moment during that game. That was awesome.
What a good year.
Great. What's